live in a beautiful state.
The Matrix is a system. That system is our enemy. But when you're inside, you look around, what do you see? You see business people. You see teachers, lawyers, carpenters, the very minds of the people we're trying to save. But until we do, these people are still part of that system. And that makes them our enemy. You've got to understand, most of these people are not ready to be unplugged. And many of them are so inert, so hopelessly dependent on the system that they'll fight to protect it. Were you listening to me? Or were you looking at that woman in the red dress? Look again. Cora, stop it. Let me add this. Just as technology evolves over time, as the Grand Canyon became what it is today, as the paint fades on some of the most beautiful buildings in the city, burning under the sun, just as those things happen and those changes are adopted, if you will, the job market changes. It's a change in the trend that I'm starting to pay attention to now that I've grown up. But there's one change over the last 2 years that has taken the American people by storm, and they call it the Great Resignation. I call it the Great Middle Finger. It's the best way to put it. I chose to open this episode with that monologue from the original Matrix, one of the best movies ever made, by the way, because it highlights a job market of yesterday, a place where the system was more important than the person. That approach to employment and survival may have sustained our ancestors. That was very dramatic. May have sustained the generations before us. But in a world of vast opportunity because of the internet and how connected we are as a people, there's a new system that has been brought about. And of course, with each and every one of us coming face to face with the idea of mortality on a grand scale due to the coronavirus over the last couple of years, people are becoming less and less dependent on the system and more passionate about leading their own lives. Cora.
Yes, Brian.
Take us out of this program and let's get started.
Ending program, beginning episode 171. Good luck. Just
this is LiveBW, season 7. Log title, What is the Great Resignation? I'm Brian James. Welcome to episode 171. This is my story. This is our story. So, what did you want to be when you were a kid? Do you remember? Do you remember being 5 and 6 years old? I was talking to my dad about this the other night. And I would go visit my dad at work. And I said go visit like I drove over there. Nah, I had to go to work with my dad because maybe they forgot to get the babysitter or something, whatever. But anyways, I would draw these pictures of, sometimes it was trains, as you probably could imagine. Other times it was a space shuttle. And I specifically remember drawing this huge space shuttle that took up majority of like a piece of printer paper. And I drew like a little me next to it, you know, with the, it's basically like a stick figure. Well, it was a step up from a stick figure. Like I actually did try to draw and it didn't work out. But you could notice a helmet, like you can, you know, and it was supposed to be me standing there next to the spaceship with the helmet. You know, clearly one of the things that I used to dream about is being an astronaut. And my dad, he put the picture on his wall and left it up there, like until he got a new job. Or back in school, I remember being in an after school program and I would draw this super long train. Like I would just take 30 something pages of printer paper and just draw train cars. They looked like Amtrak trains. and I would like design it my own way, and I would show the class, and everybody else was like into it. I'll never forget it. And I would show them, and I'd say, yeah, you know, one day you're going to be able to ride this. Seriously. I forgot how old I was at that time, but I remember I was in elementary school at Ardmore Elementary, so it had to be before fifth grade because I transferred in the sixth grade. But anyways, or real quick, last me story, and then I'll ask you again. I remember standing in the mirror in the back room of my parents' old house. It used to be the guest room. And they gave it to me. They let me have it. It's my bedroom, you know what I mean? And they moved me across the hall from the little room to the bigger room. And, you know, I would stand in front of the mirror listening to the radio pretending to be Big Tigger, you know? Like, it was a dream. It was something that I wanted to be, something I wanted to become. What about you? What did you want to do? I wish I could hear you right now. That would be that would be really dope. But we'll get there. But the point of it is this. We live in a world now where some of those dreams that we had as a kid, I mean, clearly I can't go to NASA and be on the moon next week. It just won't work like that. But maybe you had dreams of being a radio host. Now, there are so many opportunities available for you to make that dream come true on your own. Maybe you wanted to run your own clothing line, and it always seemed like such a distant dream the older you got, because it used to be so many hoops to jump through to get your own clothing made. And it's crazy because in 2022, that's really possible. I don't think it's a stretch of the imagination to say that anything is possible. And personally, as a bit of a hypothesis, if you will, personally, I think that's still in the back of majority of our minds, especially my generation, because millennials, we grew up kind of in the middle of that idea of anything is possible and everything is impossible. And I think that idea is kind of what really powered the Great Resignation. What we've been seeing over the last couple of years, people walking out on their jobs. It's a dramatic and forceful realization and appreciation of time. That's all it is to me. Because we were robbed of so much of it over the last couple of years, you know? You gonna eat that? Okay, I still can't hear you. So I'm gonna eat it. So it's a solid it's a solid reminder of time, like I said. And that's the base of my hypothesis going into this. Before we tap into any research or anything, I simply believe that the Great Resignation is also the Great Awakening. The point where millions have walked out of their jobs is also the same point where millions are walking into something better for them. And the emotional side of me that wants to go super deep with it, well, it believes that the kid inside of us wants to flourish and thrive and create, inspire, and imagine. While on the surface, the very surface, the obvious surface of this whole period of history is a connection to survival. Because we've lost so many of our loved ones and we've lost so much time, we have a whole new understanding of survival, whether we want to admit it or not. And as a result of that, millions of us want better and millions of us want more. Because it is true. We deserve more. Don't forget that. All right, so that's the hypothesis. Let's clean this up. Let's wrap this up here and get up out of here. And we'll get into the research. And then. I'm sorry. Then I've got some encouraging words for you to hold on to as well, all right? Let's go ahead and stand up. All right, hang on. All right. Here come. So, the interesting thing about this, everybody's talking about it. So it's a lot of opinion on the topic. It's a lot of research conducted on the topic. But I mean, it's no secret that this is a prevalent conversation because it has so much to do with the American economy. In fact, an extension of this conversation also bled over into the inflation conversation that many circles have been having over the last couple of years for obvious reasons. But I would like to start with Pew Research Center's study that they conducted about those workers that left their jobs in 2021. According to the U.S. Bureau of Labor Statistics, over 47 million Americans voluntarily quit their jobs. And that's in 2021. Experts highlight that as a quote-unquote unprecedented mass exit from the workforce. And just last November 2021, the nation reached a 20-year high for the amount of Americans who walked out on their jobs. Now, Pew Research Center's study went into like the reasons why people left their jobs. That way we can get rid of all the speculation. We got some numbers to back this up. Now, the only thing is they didn't ask everybody. Because number one, it's impossible. Everybody's not going to participate in that. It just doesn't work like that. But those that did respond to the survey pointed to low pay, obviously, a lack of opportunity for growth or advancement, as they write, and feeling disrespected as the three top reasons why Americans quit their jobs last year. According to Pew Research, 63% of those surveyed said they left their jobs because of low pay, and 63% also felt that there were no opportunities for growth, while 57% felt disrespected at work. And that survey was conducted between February 7th and 13th of this year. And here's another important part too. About 48% of them point to childcare issues as the reason that they quit their jobs. Because, I mean, things were closed. And for some parents, schools closed, they had to find something that they can work from home doing, you know? Or like, think about that single mom that works at the train station. I mean, the train stations were still open during the pandemic. So she would be forced to quit that job to find something remote so that she can be home with her kid. I mean, I'm pretty sure you understand that. I probably didn't have to go through all of that. But on the fewer end of those responses from that survey, 39% of people walked out on their jobs because said they were working too many hours, and 3 in 10 say that they were working too few hours. 35% of those surveyed said they wanted to relocate to a different area, which is part of my hypothesis, so hold on to that. And 18%, this is a kicker too. Only 18% left their job because a COVID-19 vaccine was a requirement. Only 18%. That's the lowest of the survey. Now, let's look at these numbers and let's break them down, because I think it's telling for a lot of people. It's telling for all sides of the job market, whether you are a professional looking to elevate your employment or whether you are an employer looking to harness good talent. All you gotta do is look at these numbers to really understand what we have grown to call the Great Resignation, or here we'll call it the Great Middle Finger. Just be careful when you repeat that. Pew Research Center survey is broken down into 10 groups that I just named. Of those 10, 6 of those are based on survival, which is the surface part of my hypothesis. The pay was too low. That's a survival thing. Child care issues. That's a survival thing. The benefits weren't good. That's a survival thing. Working too many hours. Survival. Too few hours. Oh, I thought you was going to say it. Survival. And of course, those 18% who were concerned about a COVID-19 vaccine, well, that is a survival conversation as well. Now, the childcare thing, maybe it can go either way, but I would say 60% of it is considered survival simply because you're caring for a child to ensure that they survive that day. It's part of being a parent, I assume. I'm not there yet, but it's got to have something to do with survival. But the other four are the emotional side of my hypothesis. The idea of wanting and deserving, which you do, better. No opportunities for advancement. That's because you deserve better. Feeling disrespected at work. That's because you deserve better. Wanting to relocate to a different area. That could be deserving better, but no matter what, it's because you want something different. Because you want to explore. Maybe you always wanted to work in Utah growing up. I don't know. But if that's what you want, then that's what you deserve. There's nothing wrong with that. And lastly, not enough flexibility to choose when to put in hours. Well, that's because you deserve better. And whether it's better or whether it's survival, it's looking like, according to these numbers, it worked for those people. No pun intended. According to that March 9th study from Pew Research, they also found that, quote, many of those who switched jobs see improvements. Check this out. At least half of these workers say that compared with their last job, they are now earning more money. And that's 56%. 53% said they have more opportunities for growth, and 53% say that they are having an easier time balancing work and family responsibilities, and 50% are enjoying the flexibility to choose when they put in their work hours. Now, that's the good side. The dark side of it, check out these numbers. 42% of those who quit their jobs last year say that they now have better benefits, so that means over half of people who did that don't have better benefits after making the switch. There's just another way to look at the numbers. And of course, those benefits include health insurance, PTO, ETC. No, ETC as in et cetera. Never mind. 36% of people didn't have a change either way when it came to the benefits. And 22% of those people actually have less benefits this time around. And it seems like there have been an uptick of people stepping out and using their degrees, quote-unquote educated people, leaving their sometimes mundane or whatever type of jobs, either finding ways to use their degrees or just finding better opportunity in general. 66% of those college graduates who quit their jobs last year say that they're now earning more, and 63% of them say they now have more opportunities for growth as well. Now, personally, here's the opinion piece, which I know the critics enjoy. Personally, I liken it to a pimple that is just continuing to grow and grow and grow, because finally, what happens? That's right, very good, it pops. The idea of capitalism was beautiful, it was cute, until it wasn't, until it became something that I like say in passing, like if you spend X amount of time with me, I'm sure you've heard me say this term before. I completely made it up. Well, I guess not made it up. I just put two words together. But excessive capitalism. I think that's what our country, America, United States of America, I think that's what our country is suffering from and has been suffering for a long time, because this excessive capitalism has created a society and an environment where the dollar is king, and not even king. A heartless tyrant of a king that can either be as vicious as a saber-toothed tiger, which I don't know where that came from, or as delicate as the petals of a rose.
That was touching. Poetry.
Cora, I'm trying to be serious.
I know. My apologies. Continue.
Jesus, thank you. So those 10 topics that were covered in that Pew Research study, they don't mean anything to this society, or it got to a point where it didn't mean anything to various industries, because it was all about the dollar. The survival of the employee continued to diminish in importance as the importance of funds and generating funds and all these new ways to generate funds, as that grew, the importance of the employee's survival fell. As the money pursuit grew, the importance of the employee's ability to grow fell. And it's not every industry, it's not all industries, but I mean, judging from these numbers, it's just something that kind of fuels my thought process, as I just mentioned before. And actually, some experts believe that the quote-unquote Great Resignation, that's just the end of the story. But there's been decades of this trend of people walking out of their jobs that we're seeing today. It's been going on well before the pandemic. We'll talk on the other side. All right, so this Harvard Business Review article, it's a March 23rd article by Joseph Fuller and William Kerr.
The Great Resignation, we're told, has upended the relationship between workers and the labor market. But such talk is overblown. A record number of workers did quit their jobs in 2021. It's true. However, if you consider that number in the context of total employment during the past dozen years, you can see that what we are living through is not just short-term turbulence provoked by the pandemic, but rather the continuation of a long-term trend.
Yo, keep going.
From 2009 to 2019, the average monthly quit rate increased by 0.10 percentage points each year. Then, in 2020, because of the uncertainty brought on by the COVID-19 pandemic, the resignation rate slowed, as workers held on to their jobs in greater numbers. That pause was short-lived. In 2021, as stimulus checks were sent out and some of the uncertainty abated, a record number of workers quit their jobs, creating the so-called Great Resignation. But that number included many workers who might otherwise have quit in 2020 had there been no pandemic. We're now back in line with the pre-pandemic trend, which is one that American employers are likely to be contending with for years to come.
All right, you see, Cora, that's poetry. Let's get out of here real quick. Let's go back to the lab. Cora, did you hear that guy's voice? Jesus, that's the NOAA system from Harvard Business Review. I'll make sure I link that article in the description below. Now, I don't want to belabor the point, nor do I want to just keep saying, you know, this is my opinion, believe me, believe me, believe me. But even what we just heard points to an economy that has been changing for years. It's just that when we were faced with the ultimate, well, I won't say the ultimate, but one of the more ultimate situations where survival is literally in question for many of us, it just so happened that that took place to kind of move things along a little quicker. But according to that research and that report from Harvard Business Review, just like Noah said, a lot of the people that were quitting their jobs last year had already had plans to do so. And I think that points further to the disconnect in the job market right now between employees and employers. And I shouldn't say the entire job market, but put it like this. The groups that are succeeding right now and are pushing towards their goals with some steam, some positive energy, and are looking to stay afloat after the changes that we've experienced over the last couple of years, those businesses are the ones that are understanding these numbers and understanding what the Great Resignation, quote unquote, actually is saying. Those businesses are looking to leave certain things in the past, certain practices in the past for how they manage their employees, those tactics and things that, you know, may have helped you generate more income, but it didn't necessarily take care of your staff. All of those things are being left in the past with those companies, and they're embracing this change, this wave of new employees that just want to be heard, seen, felt, respected, paid, cut in on the deals, and to have a little fun in the process. Oh, and you can't forget, they still want to be able to spend time with their family. Doesn't sound like that stuff is for sale anymore, you know? And if you ask me, I think that's the beautiful part about it. It goes from the Great Resignation to the Great Middle Finger to the Great Awakening. I like that. Now, there's something else in that HBR article, but I think it's worth noting, too, that I don't know how I missed it this far, just how I forgot about it, but there's two things. One, the focus on early retirement. A lot of people from the generations before us, a couple of generations removed before us, I should say, are retiring earlier. According to the HBR article, they say in 2021, older workers left their jobs at an accelerated rate, and they did so at younger ages. Now, again, that does fall into the wanting and deserving better nomination that we gave this earlier. A lot of people retired early because they felt like they could do better than working, period. They wanted to explore the world or just not be tied down to an employer. But the other one, the stimulus check, well, that, I don't know how to nominate that. The only thing I could think of is that for a lot of these people who may have left their jobs, the extra, three bands or something like that, maybe it bought them some time, or at least they thought so. It gave a lot of workers a little wiggle room to not go to work if they didn't want to, or to quit their jobs and say, okay, I'm sitting on three bands. I can kind of drag my feet going to work. Well, I don't have to go to work. And in some cases, that was health related. I just feel like that maybe that's a whole different, I don't know. We're going to have to, that would be interesting to research together, and actually spend some time with this. Because maybe the stimulus check is a whole nother base to all of this. Because, yeah, you got more money, but did that mean that you retired because of it? Or did that mean that you decided just to not work? Or were you not going to work because you didn't want to get sick? Are you still not comfortable with going to work? And, of course, with that excess of money, you can make that decision now. So, I don't know. I'd be interested to ask my own survey question, if you will. But, nonetheless, that stimulus check is a very important part of what we call, quote-unquote, the Great Resignation. Now, I really like the words that Greg Iacursi wrote in CNBC's April 11th article entitled "The War for Talent Continues." I like this. It highlights our current state of the Great Resignation, a period that you're not really going to believe. I didn't know this was going on. But 40% of those people that have gotten new jobs recently, well, in the past 12 months, according to a State of Work in America survey published last week, which polled more than 5,000 employees, 40% of those are already actively looking for another job. 40%. 40% of people switched jobs in the last year and are already looking for another opportunity. Now, it's crazy, but it's beautiful. And it's beautiful because of what Tim Glauer said. He was quoted in that CNBC article, "The power is going to the employee right now. They are in the driver's seat." So let's stop and think real quick, because this brings up a good point. And really, for us to really digest it, all we got to do is take a step back. All we got to do is take a step back and look around. Just look around and see. Notice how Company A, we may have seen a job posted by Company A, and we're just looking at the benefits and the things that are being offered, that those companies that have been, that you see on Twitter, up and down the timeline with those PR bread articles that tell you how much they're increasing their pay, and it's like a big news story, or how much they're sweetening the pot. That's Exhibit A. And then like a week later, you'll see Exhibit B, where another set of companies will do the same thing, except for the pot is sweeter. And then another set of companies a week after that. You see where this is going. The pot is even sweeter than that. The opportunities are growing, and they're getting better and better and better. I think that's what Tim was alluding to when he said the power is going to the employee right now. Because I firmly believe two things. One, a lot of industries of the past, I'll even say pre-pandemic, a lot of industries in their way of operation and our way of life in that time period, a lot of that is folding. That, unfortunately, is sad news that, you know, not many of us can do anything about. That's just evolution. But on the other end of that, I do believe that for every door closing, there's a door opening. Industries are expanding and creating new jobs, creating new opportunities based on new technology that is being installed, based on new research that's being conducted. And even on the surface, without getting too emotional or too in-depth about it, simply based on the fact that, like, a lot of these companies got a lot of help during the pandemic, got a lot of incentives during the pandemic to create these jobs that we're seeing right now. Funding, aka moolah, dollar bills. It does create opportunity, or it can. That's the beautiful side of money. But if not careful, it could crash another job market. Whatever's happening now is all about the employee. And I like that. Tim also explains the quote-unquote buyer's remorse that some new job holders may be experiencing. If you get a chance, I encourage you to check out that article. Of course, it'll be linked in the description below. Cora, can you turn the lights on in the family room?
On it.
Suck it up.
It's not a big deal.
Snap out.
Just get over it.
We've all heard it. But if you're experiencing extreme stress, it's not just in your head. It can affect your entire body because toxic stress can hurt us physically without us even knowing it. If you've lost a job, worry about your next meal, or have trouble making it through the day, if you're feeling the effects of stress, we can help. Text STRESS to 211-211 to find a solution.
Live in a beautiful state.
We've been processing a lot of change over the last 2 years. There's no two ways about it. I think anybody that could possibly hear this knows that. That's how big what we just went through and what we are continuing to experience, but may not even be able to explain all the way. That's how big it was. Everybody knows what I'm talking about. We've been responding to that change over the last couple of years. And even as we riding along right now, sometimes I don't have the words to address this change that we've experienced over the last 2 years. But what I like most about the quote-unquote Great Resignation is that it's such a mass response to a newfound and forced understanding of time. And to me, what that fights for is a piece of silver lining for the rusty couple of years that we've been experiencing. You see, with over 4 million people quitting their jobs in a 6-month span, that's 4 million people, a record number of people choosing to value time, which to me is the gateway to so many great emotions and so many great moments in our life, because it forces us to value the very moments that we have. It forces us to value how we spend our time. It makes moments with our loved ones feel even more warm, because we understand that through the emotion, through the belly of those good moments, those shining moments with the ones that we love, that's what helps those moments live forever and can inspire generations behind us. I think that's how we truly understand time and make the best of it. So when I see all of these people walking out of their jobs and in record numbers, I get excited, because all of those people are beginning to value other things just a little bit more or at a greater capacity. That mother wants a new job so she can provide more for that kid. Or the same with that father, who wants to leave his job because he wants to find something closer to home so he can go to more of Junior's baseball games. Or that son who wants to move closer to the city so that he can go in and out of town to check on his mom. It'll just make things a little bit easier. And then on top of that, the job that he left was racking up his hours, and then he got tired of his boss, who, well, she's looking for work too, because she realized that she's frustrated in her current position for whatever reason. And not only does she want to switch jobs, she wants to change industries. And she saved up a little money on the side, so she actually wants to begin her own business. And it's enough money to actually hire somebody who's passionate about the plants, because, well, she wants to open a plant store. I guess I forgot to mention that. And even in the cases that are a little more gray, if we're looking at the emotional scale of this thing, but even on the basis of just wanting to go somewhere for more money, I think about Jerry, who had been practicing law under another firm for so long, he saved up some coin to start his own practice. And then on top of that, you know, he might have actually stayed another extra 5 years, but he ended up leaving the firm he was at to start his own because of a PPP loan that he got to help boost his business. It's from the government. The government gave him the money, and it was designed to help small businesses get started and get things going. Now, that's a little more of the, I guess, emotional gray area, but the specific gray area, well, I got one for that too. What about that software engineer that's already making about $250,000 a year and gets a $375,000 offer from the developers across the street? She's out. And as a matter of fact, take it a step further, she knocked on their door first because she realized her value. She realized what she was worth, and she admitted that. Believed in it, fought for it, and after being faced with this global wave of mortality, she would never forgive herself if she never gave it a shot. She knew she wasn't worth 250 bands, or whatever I said. She knew she could get more, so she went and got more, because she wanted to shake hands with the hands of the clock. When I look at the Great Resignation, that's what I see. I see a bunch of people looking for better because they deserve better, and I respect that. I see a shift in the job market that can echo into generations of a better quality job market. The Great Resignation, I mean, so many words could be thrown in there. It could be the Great Reset. It could be the moment in history that taught employers how to really respect and treat their employees. A shift in the industry where like Yahoo Finance says, the talent is really in control. That was a quote from their April 13th article. That'll be linked in the description below as well. If you change jobs and you went out there and you got something going, that is awesome. And I hope that all the great things in life come to you. If you jumped out there for more money, I'm glad that you saw your value. And I'm glad that your value has been met. If you just wanted a different job because you wanted to be treated better, I'm glad that you understood and understand that you deserve that. And if you changed jobs because you wanted to spend more time with your family, well, God bless you. That is awesome. We need more of that. Because there's a warmth in that. A warmth that had been chilled under the bloody thumbs of the dollar for centuries, I guess. But to be less dramatic, we'll say decades. An economy that would dispose of the bodies for $20. Some might say it's naive, but I can see that. I can see that vision. But if you stepped out there because you deserve better, and after seeing everything that we've been dealing with the last couple of years, you've processed that to understand how powerless we are to time. And the only way to really fight back is to create moments that last forever. I commend you for understanding that a bad job is a complete and utter waste of time. So of course we have to make a pledge. We have to. At starting this season, I had no clue that was going to become a thing. But it kind of feels like a thing, and it may just be more in my head, but we have to make a pledge. And as a matter of fact, we're going to make three today. One, I want us to massage our understanding of time by appreciating the moments that we experience. I want us to hold those moments with delicacy and shield them by making the best decisions that we possibly can. If that statement bleeds over into your view of employment or your situation of employment, well, do whatever you have to do to adhere to that pledge. Be delicate and be strategic with how you massage the understanding of time. But you have my word. I'm doing everything I can to really process how the last couple of years have affected my understanding of time. And with that first pledge, I would like for us to do it together, okay? Number two, if you are a business owner, if you are a CEO of whatever, if you are a manager of a team at wherever you are, be warm. Of course, be warm outside of work, but speaking specifically in reference to the employment atmosphere, be warm, be understanding. When we looked at that Pew Research chart and those the results from their survey, so many of those comments from people that left their jobs were because of, well, their workplace atmosphere in general. Stress is a very tedious and sometimes silent surgery on our soul that we don't get no Novocaine for, that we don't even get an explanation half the time. You just feel it. And in a manager's position, at least to me, from the outside looking in, well, I guess I've managed something. But anyways, from the manager's position, from the manager's viewpoint, you have an opportunity to just make it all better for your employees. Make life better for your employees. Create situations that help bring them the needs and the things that we all have to have in our lives. Sometimes it's conversation and sometimes it's financial. Sometimes it starts with an understanding as a manager that, hey, my team deserves more and I'm going to bat for them. So if you're in that position and you got a team or whoever, people around you, just hold on to that understanding and take a look at what we call the Great Resignation and see the message that's really embedded inside of that. The powers that be in the job force, the gatekeepers, if you will, have got to do better. And I mean, there's no way to sugarcoat that. But that's okay, we're pledging to do better. Lastly, and then I'm gonna get back to work over here. I want you to take a pledge to do something to feed that creative energy in you. For me, the creative energy, I have made some money off of it, but for the most part, that's where I go to every day to help me to deal with the rest of my life, if that makes sense. Like when I get up and I write my 1,000 words every single day, that's the base of my day. Getting that creative energy out. Something about it just inspires me to do everything from the mundane tasks to the intricate ones throughout the day. It all starts with that writing in the morning. I don't know what that looks like for you. I have no clue. I've been trying to hear you this whole episode. It just hasn't worked. But I just want you to take a pledge to try and find it, if you will, and put it to work. For me, that creative energy has been a strong bridge between who I think I am and who I actually am. A nice, healthy bridge. I think a lot of creative energy is what inspired all of those people to walk out of their jobs. We take these pledges and I think we'll be all right. And like I said, I'm looking forward to seeing what tomorrow looks like after the Great Resignation. I wonder what kind of shifts are we setting up for the rest of the century, and I just wonder what all of this spells for the generations behind us. Hey, if you heard something you liked in those articles, they'll be down in the description. And as always, link up with me on Instagram, @LiveBW. You'll be able to find some episode notes over there, too. We could also use your help with that Spotify survey. So if you're listening to this on Spotify, just let us know. Did you or someone you know leave their job in the last 2 years? Again, the question is, did you or someone you know leave your job in the last 2 years? If you're listening on Spotify, you can answer the survey question and we'll get your answers processed, all right? I said processed, like you're gonna get something. It's no prize, I'm sorry. All right, Cora, take me out.
On it. Hang on.